Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On June 29th, the Supreme Court held that Congress has a vital role to play excuse me, in determining the appropriate procedures to be applied when our nation decides to try a detainee for a crime, such as a violation of the laws of war. I welcome today's hearing as an important step in that process and a step that can reinforce our nation's credibility around the world by demonstrating our commitment to being a nation of laws, even with regard to enemies who have not themselves abided by the laws of war. If we're going to win the war on terrorism, we need more than military strength. We need to rally decent people everywhere in the world to root out terrorists and to share information about their horrific plans. We will have more success convincing potential friends and allies to actively join us in this cause if we show them not just our military strength, but also our values as a nation. For almost 5 years now, the administration has insisted on running the war on terrorism on its own, with little or no role for Congress. Over and over again, the administration has insisted that the executive branch has plenary authority to address critical issues, such as processes for defining enemy combatant status, standards for the treatment and interrogation of detainees, procedures for trying detainees for crimes, and rules for the collection of electronic intelligence inside the United States. Last summer, Senator Lindsey Graham chaired a hearing in our Personnel Subcommittee at which the administration was repeatedly urged to work with us to develop legislation governing the criminal trial of detainees by military commissions. Senator Graham made it clear that we needed to write such legislation, not because we opposed the war on terrorism, but to help us win the war by establishing a firm legal basis for the trial of the small percentage of detainees that we try for crimes, thereby showing the world that we remain a nation of laws, even when we are attacked by the lawless. The Department of Defense Deputy General Counsel made it clear at that hearing that the administration didn't particularly welcome Congress's help. He testified that, quote, legislation is not necessary. The President has powers under the Constitution. I don't think we need additional authorities, close quote. 2 weeks ago in the Hamden case, the Supreme Court forcefully rejected that administration position. The authority to establish military commissions to try detainees for violations of the law of war, the Court ruled, quote, can derive only from the powers granted jointly to the President and Congress in time of war, close quote. The military commission established by the administration to try Hamden lacked the power to proceed, the Court added, because it was not consistent with the authority granted by Congress, which requires its procedures to be consistent with the rules governing courts martial and the requirements of international law, including Common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. The Supreme Court found that the military commissions established by the administration to handle criminal trials departed from those rules and requirements in a number of ways, by authorizing the exclusion of a detainee from his own trial, by permitting the admission of a broad range of unreliable evidence, by permitting legal decisions to be made by non-lawyers, and by establishing unique review procedures that do not include safeguards important to the fairness of criminal proceedings and the independence of the court. We begin our deliberative process where we should begin it. We begin our deliberative process where we should begin it, with the testimony of distinguished military officers who lead and have led our able corps of judge advocates. These are the witnesses who are most familiar with the rules for courts martial and the history and practice of military commissions. They also understand the practical importance of our adherence to American values and the rule of law in the treatment of others. If we mistreat, torture, or humiliate persons whom we detain on the battlefield, or if we proceed to try detainees without fair procedures, we increase the risk that our troops will be subject to similar mistreatment, torture, or humiliation at the hands of others. Our founding fathers established the standard for our nation in this area as they did in so many other areas. The British mistreated, starved, and summarily executed many American prisoners during our War of Independence. But as described by historian David Fisher in his book, Washington's Crossing, General Washington, quote, ordered that captives would be treated as human beings with the same rights of humanity for which Americans were striving, and that those moral choices in the War of Independence enlarged the meaning of the American Revolution. I hope that this Congress will reaffirm once again the path of American values and enlightened self-interest that was set at our nation's birth as we address the issues now before us involving the practices and procedures to be used with those detainees whom we decide to try for crimes. Mr. Chairman, I thank you for proceeding as you are in this manner, thoughtfully as always. I join you in welcoming the distinguished panel of witnesses, and I ask that the balance of my statement be inserted in the record.